Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. On Thursdays, the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem opens at 10 a.m., and typically it's not a busy time. But when we stopped by last week, visitors were streaming in the moment the doors opened to see some electrifying paintings of the sea by one of Britain's most famous painters, J.M.W. Turner.
Part of the process of organizing the show has been a surprise in that people who I didn't think would care a whit about Turner or even know anything at all about Turner have come out of the woodwork and said, "Oh, I love that artist. He's my favorite artist. He changed my life. He's influenced my career."
This is Dan Fenimore, the Russell W. Knight Curator of Maritime Art and History at the Peabody Essex Museum. He says this exhibit, Turner and the Sea, has given him new appreciation of just how popular Turner's work is today. Fenimore says in the early 19th century, even as a very young artist, Turner attracted a lot of attention.
From the time he was a teenager, people noticed his work.
When he was just 21, Turner submitted an oil painting to the Royal Academy for the first time. And that painting greets you at the exhibit in Salem. It's called Fisherman at Sea. Dan Fenimore says Turner used it to make the statement, "I've mastered classic marine painting."
Here he was creating a moonlit, watery scene with a swell in the foreground that actually, I think, makes your stomach sort of leap a little bit. There are the fishermen working amidst that watery scape. And he has accomplished at a very high level, something that other artists would have spent their entire careers trying to accomplish.
Like so many of his paintings that follow, Fisherman at Sea depicts the deep power and mystery of the ocean. Turner's work spoke to an island nation defined by sea and sea power. And this painting proved that he was a master. It was also a point of departure for him, and he quickly moved on. He experimented with brushwork, presentation, and pigments. And Turner pushed the boundaries, ignoring many artistic conventions of the time. Many of his naval scenes dispense with historical accuracy and instead embrace a kind of wild impressionism well ahead of its time.
He took that value that he knew that the public would be assessing his works on, and he just threw it out the window and did his own thing.
I'm almost surprised to hear this, that he was so willing to sort of throw out those values that risked alienating so many people, and did.
Because at the end of the day, people were buying his paintings and people continued to pay attention to him.
Turner also worked to keep his methods as mysterious as possible, which isn't to say that Turner always painted alone.
When he painted in public, it was for performance, and it was with a sense of bravura that people were very impressed by and was very well practiced on his part.
But that sense of bravura, which attracted the public to Turner's work, also made many of his fellow artists jealous, and he seemed to relish the competition.
On varnishing day, he would go in and he would look at the paintings that were hanging next to him in the exhibition galleries, and everyone was supposed to come in and varnish their paintings and be done. But he would look at the neighboring paintings, and then he would take out his paints and he would continue to work on his paintings to make sure that they stood out, and other artists were very annoyed with that. They weren't capable of doing that at the last minute.
The Turner exhibit at the Peabody Essex Museum includes some historical context of Turner's world in the form of poster-sized mock-ups of 19th-century London tabloids. They have names like The Improper Londonian, splashed with headlines about Turner's work and about his personal life, often the source of sensational gossip.
He didn't marry, but he lived with a couple of mistresses. In his sketchbooks, there's images of naked women. I mean, what artist? I could be describing most male artists of the last 300 years, but he was critiqued over that, and people plumbed those aspects of his life because they didn't have a lot of other things to work with.
One thing we do know for sure about Turner's personal life was his love of travel.
He traveled all through France and down to Italy several times. So several months of a year of his entire life, he was traveling.
And always painting what he saw. His trips abroad allowed him to depict uncommon scenes that few other artists were inspired to paint. For example, the beautifully mysterious painting called Staffa, Fingal's Cave. It's a rendering of a foggy day off the Scottish coast. A steamship plows through choppy waters and has an almost ephemeral aspect. its exhaust mingling in the gray mist and clouds.
It's almost ghostly, isn't it?
Except for that belching smoke.
Right.
So he's painting modern technology, which in and of itself is a challenging subject. And as the smoke sort of dissipates off towards the left of the painting, it seems just there, it leads your eye towards the mouth of a cave. But you really only see that vague shadow.
An avid New York art collector of the time sent an agent to London to make an offer to buy the painting. Turner was initially unimpressed and dismissed the very idea of American art collectors.
Oh, Americans, they love my works, but they never come up with the scratch.
In the end, though, the American bought the painting. And in fact, whether or not they had the scratch, many Americans were interested in Turner's work.
It was becoming a very common activity for Americans to make the pilgrimage. Of course, the Grand Tour was already well entrenched in American ideas about self-education, but Turner became a major part of that, especially for artists, but also for poets and others.
The center of the exhibit is a huge canvas depicting the Battle of Trafalgar, the great and decisive British naval victory over the French. It's impressive and big, 12 feet wide and standing almost 9 feet high. It dominates one entire room of the exhibit.
Painting on this scale had to have been a major challenge for him. He painted very large canvases. In general, the show is filled with very large canvases, but this is an order of its own. And crafting a composition that he could lay down on a canvas this big was a unique challenge for him.
Finnemore says it was also a unique challenge just getting this huge painting to Salem.
There isn't an airplane with a cargo door large enough that flies from Heathrow to Boston. Those large padded crates were put on a truck to the Channel Tunnel and sent by the train over to the continent and then by truck to Luxembourg and then put on an airplane that flew to New York and then on a truck that came up to Salem. So,
wow.
But it's well worth it, I think.
Well worth it indeed. Many artists had already painted the Battle of Trafalgar, but Turner was determined to do it in a new way, his way. So instead of depicting one battle scene with a sense of historical accuracy, he created a summary of the entire battle.
What Turner chose to focus on was the human costs of that battle, because we have, instead of acts of heroism, we see dead and dying people in the water washing forwards, one of them literally hanging out before you like it's about to wash out of the frame into the space of the visitors.
When you look at the Battle of Trafalgar, you don't see victory. Instead, you see destruction and sadness. The reddish tones of the scene communicate not so much a sense of glorious victory, but of chaos and death.
The more I look at these works, the more I see, the more new things that I see, that the new emotions these things raise up that I hadn't experienced the first time around, and the complexity of these works is really astounding to me.
Like many curators and art experts, Dan Finnemore has spent a lot of time studying Turner's work. But he says organizing this exhibit at the Peabody Essex Museum has been a source of big surprises.
Nothing prepared me for actually opening the crates here in Salem, taking the paintings out and putting them against our walls, against our wall color, with our lighting. I can't walk through without feeling my spine tingle. It's incredible.
Dan Finnemore is the Russell W. Knight Curator of Maritime Art and History at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem. Turner and the Sea runs through September 1st. Stay with us. Coming up, Strange Fruit, Volume 1, a new comic of untold stories of Black history. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.